Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders. MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson. And your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another episode of Sports Card Live. I'm joined by Dan and Ryan. What's up, guys?
What up?
Ryan just came back from the little Warriors-Laker rendezvous last night. How did you? What did you think about the game, man?
It wasn't even a very good game. The Warriors had a big lead for most of the game. And the thing is, I'm a Lakers fan, but Stephen Curry's on my fantasy team, and I'm in first place right now, so I'm trying to grind out the rest of the season. So it's kind of weird because I was rooting for Curry to have a good game, which he did. He had a very good game, and I was even worried that he wasn't going to play because he got hurt a couple nights ago. But he played well. The Lakers, as usual this year, didn't play well, and that was it. Great time in Oakland. It's been a while since I've been to an NBA game, so it was just kind of nice to kind of get back. I watch a ton of NBA, so I have the league pass. So, great time out there in Oakland.
Yeah, they have that nice little bar area. I think it's like mid-level where they have a full bar and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess I still got Vegas on the mind with drinks and stuff here. I'm thinking about the bar as you're talking about NBA. But it's a nice little stadium. You know, I'm sure it was sold out or close to it with the Lakers coming in town, because usually those tickets go real fast.
I think it was like the 26th consecutive sellout or something like that. The Warriors, I mean, even last year and the last 15 years, they've been one of the worst teams in the league, but their fans are loyal, man. They still sell that place out, yep. Which is pretty remarkable, actually, because usually, I mean, when teams are below 500 for 5, 6, 7 years, you definitely see the attendance drop off, but not at Roracle. not in Oakland.
Nice. Well, good stuff. We got another action-packed episode. We're going to give our reviews, go head-to-head, Topps versus Panini, as far as Valor came out. Valor Football came out last week, and so did Totally Certified. So me and Dan busted two cases of each, and we're going to give you our opinions of it, let you know who wins. We're also going to have Susan from Beckett joining us, talking about her experience at the summit and some Beckett news. And we're going to talk about just wherever this show leads us. I mean, there's Prism news, there's Group Breaker meeting at the summit, so we're going to touch on all of it as long as time permits. We'll also have a Group Break giveaway, so listen in for that. We'll give you the number to call in and win a Group Break spot for one of tomorrow's breaks at MojoBreak.com. So let's go ahead and we can start off with the Group Breakers meeting. Since, Ryan, you were in there as well, we didn't have enough time to talk about it last week. For those that you are going, what's the Group Breakers meeting? They actually held a Group Breakers meeting at the industry summit. There was about, 50, 60 people there. And Kevin Isaacson kind of just tried to seize the bubble and make sure. I think the goal of the meeting was to make sure that the customers are taken care of, make sure that group break practices are, you know, on the up and ups and that there's no shadiness going on. So, Brian, what were your thoughts about the meeting in general?
I thought it was interesting, and I've heard that I've gotten a lot of attention for my limited coverage on the event. Something about a blowout forum thread, and you know, a lot of people have kind of come up. I even have had people email me and say, "Hey, can I call you and talk to you about that Group Breaker meeting?" And so, I don't know. I thought it was very interesting. I thought that, this is the first time that a number of the group breakers, and when I say group breakers, it was mostly just these guys, kind of like yourselves, who sell spots and random spots in a team, not these kind of rip and flippers who will buy 20 cases of Top Series 1, open every single card, and individually list the cards on eBay. I'm not sure there was even that many people or even anybody in the room that did that specific type of group break. It was more just kind of group breakers, guys who have a website and organize selling the spots in the team. And there had to have been at least including you guys, what do you think, about 8 or 9 different websites or kind of breakers people represented?
There may have been a couple more. There may have been maybe 10 or 12, I'd say. Maybe. There wasn't a ton of people in there. There was a couple of people who were, I mean, like there, like with us, there was Doug and myself who were representing one company. I think there was a lot of like couple people representing one company. So I mean, I think there's probably maybe 10 or 12 people, like different websites or group breakers or YouTube guys that were there.
Yeah, I mean go ahead.
Go ahead, Doug.
The vibe was, I think everybody kind of went in with the tenseness because, nobody's met some of these guys face-to-face. We haven't met these guys before. We've only heard about them. So I think everything was maybe a little bit going into it. We didn't know what to expect at all. So we were, going into it just blindly. But I think at the end of the day, it was positive. If anything comes out of it, I don't know. Some of the ideas that were shared may or may not ever take off, but I think everybody had the same views that were in the room for the most part. I think everybody was on the same page of how to conduct this and make sure the customer's taken care of. There's complete transparency by going live. I mean, everybody kind of had the same ideas. The people that don't do business practice as well weren't there, so, and that's probably a reason why. We all stood up at one moment and said, boom! I think so. That was mainly the big thing. We all said boom in unison.
No, I mean, the one thing that I was surprised in is the fact that going into it, I thought we were going to talk about the logistics of running a group break, like how you do randoms, like how you do hitless team randoms, should you ever join your own breaks, like stuff like this, like the logistics of how to run a group break. I didn't know it was really going into, we were trying to structure a better business bureau of these breakers. That's what I thought it was going to be like, we're going to hash out some standardized like ways of handling group breaks and how we should all do it. And I thought that's what the debate was going to be about and what we were going to talk about and bounce off different ideas, but off each other. But that's not what it was really about. It was more about putting in a system where it's like authorized breakers and they're still going to run their business the same way. There's not going to be any standardized ways of going about doing business. That's what I thought it was. Going into it, that's what I thought we were going to be talking about. But nobody really talked about like the specific details of running a group break.
Yeah, and maybe they didn't. Maybe people didn't want. People were scared of people stealing ideas. Maybe that was the feeling. Maybe time permitting on some of that stuff. They only gave us like an hour and a half, I think, to go into some of the stuff. I'd love to share some of that stuff. There is some things that I don't think any of those people in that room don't do, but there's definitely some of the stuff like buying in your own break or not doing it live that should be a standard, among breakers. And I think the reason it was held, to give you background, is that Kevin and others kind of compared this industry to the grading industry of the 80s and 90s, where it just became a big phenomenon, so to speak, lack of a better word. And everybody wanted a piece of this phenomenon, but there was people trying to either outbid each other or give better grades so they can get more customers. And then the bubbles, so to speak, burst. So they kind of wanted to kind of groom this industry as they see that it is growth and there's a lot of people joining breaks. So that it's done right and it's geared for growth and it's geared for the customer experience.
Well, it looked like it was a meeting about trying to push out anybody else who's going to try to compete. And that's not what I'm about. I mean, if you want to start a group breaking company and you want to do it the right way, just because you're not a part of the association doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to do it. That's
Right.
That, I mean, it seemed like people were trying to push down any new competitors that are coming into their market. And that's not good business. I mean, that's not what we're all about. I mean, it's all about if you want to put in the work and you want to do it the right way, then you should be able to do it.
Right.
And that's another vibe I got out of it. It was like, okay, so everybody who's in here, let's just make sure nobody else starts doing this.
Right. Well, you guys are in. Everybody else is out.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I felt the meeting was more about than anything else. And it was a little, I mean, I had different expectations going into it. So that's why I was just a little like, whoa, this is different. This is not what I expected, but I'll go with it and hang out and we'll talk about it and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And there was some concerns about the 2013 rookie class and which somebody brought up and, you know, I'm not going to, I have concerns about the 2013 NFL rookie class as well, but I think that's the least of our concerns as breakers. I think if anything, and we may have talked about this on the show before, so I'm sorry if I'm being redundant, but there's the companies, Panini, Topps, Leaf, they're going to figure it out. I mean, if there's all offensive linemen drafted in the first 32 picks, which is entirely possible, they're going to figure it out. They're going to bring back guys from this year. They're going to bring in legends. There's going to be somebody who emerges anyway from this. I mean, there's going to be a running back that goes down and this third or fourth round running back is going to come in and he's going to be like a Doug Martin. It's going to pan out. So there was a few people that brought that up, which I don't think is a concern at all.
Did you just say that all 32 first round picks are going to be offensive linemen?
Well, I was just worst case scenario, but you never know. There's a lot of offensive linemen.
I mean, dude, if you're stating that and you're like taking bets on it, dude, I'm down. I'll take that bet. I mean, over under 10 offensive linemen go in the first round. I'd take the under on that.
I might take,
take
the
under.
Really? I think the first overall pick is going to be an offensive lineman, right, for the Chiefs, or is that a defensive lineman? I'm not too. I haven't brushed up on my Mel Kiper list in a little while, but
there's still 31 picks left in the first round.
And you know who's not going to pick an offensive lineman? The Niners. I can tell you that much. So that it might be 30,
really?
31 offensive linemen.
Wow.
You know, we're just going to be Kaepernick to Bolden all day. Kaepernick to Bolden. Or
wow.
Crabtree, you know, guys. So I'm ready for football. I'm ready for baseball too. So
I'm ready for baseball.
I'm ready for both, man. I wish football was year round. I guess it is on NFL Network. You just watch it all day. But you know,
the arena football league just started up.
No,
San Jose SaberCats. What's up?
Tonight. Is T.O. going to play in the arena league this year?
No, didn't he play for one? Didn't he play one game last year?
I believe so. He had like three touchdowns too.
It's a pretty good game.
just pulling them down. Well, I mean, to round out your guys' thoughts about this group breaker meeting, I mean, it wasn't anything. The people on the forum, I found it hilarious because people on the forum were saying it's a bunch of fat, sweaty old men getting in a room talking about cards. And you know, I may be borderline fat, but I'm not sweaty. And I'm not balding yet. So, I mean, you know, they gotta get their facts right, okay? I maybe had too many cheeseburgers this week, so I may be borderline fat, but, you know, I don't know.
No, man, when I read that, I'm all, wait till I get back from Vegas. I will be that guy. I was eating, I mean, it was just cheeseburgers and beer and fries and grease and smoking cigarettes. It was just bad times all around. The body is... And hummus, I did have some hummus. That's true, and it was delicious.
Well, so it looks like we got our 914 is probably a New York area code. So let's bring on Susan here. Well, Ryan, you'll kind of go head up the interview. So let's bring her on here.
Great.
Hi, Susan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Excellent. Susan, so it was your first year at the Las Vegas Industry Summit, and I guess I know I'm curious, and I'm sure the listeners are curious, just your overall experience there in Vegas, and have you recovered yet
from the trip to Vegas, and just kind of your overall take on the industry summit.
Well, winning money was good, so I like that part of Vegas, and I pretty much slept the entire day after I got back, so I'm feeling pretty good now. But the industry summit itself, I actually found it very interesting. Because I had never gone there before, I was curious to see how it compared to the national, because there were a lot of, you know, same people were there, you know, the card companies there, dealers were there. But it was interesting to see some people in a different environment. In this case, the dealers, they weren't really trying to sell you anything. So now you catch them in a different environment, more relaxed. So it was interesting to see that side of them. And I got to talk to a lot of people, like hear a lot of different stories and just get a better understanding of like what they're going through and how they're trying to work themselves, you know, through the industry. And then it was good to have all the card companies there as well, because then you get to talk to these people face-to-face, whereas usually you're just communicating through, like, emails or phone calls or something like that.
Was there a particular story that, like, stood out, or either maybe one of the presentations that stood out in your mind and kind of got you thinking and the wheels turning in your mind?
I'm mad I missed the group breaker session, because I was following your tweets and that, it seemed insane. I thought that, you know, it's a good thing that they're talking about group breakers. You know, recently, a couple issues ago, I think in Becca Sports Card Monthly, I wrote an article about group breaks, but it was a very, like, sort of, like, surface kind of stuff that I wrote about. But I think there's a whole lot more there, and I think I'm intrigued to actually see what's going to happen with group breaks, because, you know, there's a lot more people in the game right now. More group breakers are popping up, and it's very, very competitive, especially after hearing how, like, passionate these people were about it. So I'm intrigued about group breaks and that going forward.
I know during the group breaker meeting, you were actually in the Upper Deck Diamond Dealer meeting, and they had some interesting things. I know they've got an MLBPA license. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, since you got a whole presentation from Upper Deck, and I don't know if you got to talk to Chris Carlin at all, or what do you kind of see with everybody? Because they just, you know, we know about the unfortunate death of the founder, Richard McWilliam. So, you know, kind of maybe give us at least your kind of perspective on where you think Upper Deck's going forward here in the future.
I think getting the MLBPA license is a step in a good direction for them. You know, they had lost the license, and then through, you know, because a lot of, like, legal issues and apparently not paying some bills, but whatever the reasons, it's good for them to get it back, because it means, like, you know, here, you're getting another chance. It's like, we're not completely shunning you, so it's good for them to get the license, because there's a lot of people who like Upper Deck products. You know, Upper Deck has always done high-end products very well. So for them to get this MLBPA license, it's good for them. It's good for collectors. People, you know, people love competition, and I know they're not going to get an MLB license because they have, you know, a top slot that up through 2020. But I think it's going to be intriguing to see how Upper Deck and Panini fight with that MLBPA license now. As far as Upper Deck goes, you know, they have some really interesting products on the shelves. They have they've been really using that Fleer Retro line, which was very popular in basketball. Pretty good with football, so we'll see how it does in hockey. But I think they're also going to bring it back for baseball as well. So that should be a lot of fun for some people. I know you're not going to have guys on MLB uniforms, but, you know, you're going to have some college guys and some, like, probably, like, logos airbrushed out on some of the old Fleer, you know, inserts that people really enjoyed.
And speaking of new products, I know you even wrote an article about this, how Panini's going to come out with Prism Hockey with the double rookie class. And maybe talk a little bit about what you learned about kind of the new double rookie class coming up with hockey, and I guess maybe specifically with this Prism set that was so exciting for football and basketball, and now Panini's bringing it to hockey.
I think the Panini and Upper Deck, they're really going to rely a lot on this double rookie class, because they had to cancel so many products from this season because they couldn't build products with the rookies that they had, and then to try and sell them, it just wasn't going to work out, because people, yeah, it was great, Chris Kreider, yeah, he's fun, but then he got, you know, he played like a week and then got sent back to Hartford. So they wanted, you know, guys like Yakupov and, you know, and Connor, who's playing well now, and, you know, Dougie Hamilton, guys like this, they weren't going to be in the products, so they weren't going to sell well. The double rookie class is going to be so important, because they're probably going to make plenty of product to hype these guys out, and they're going to try and make the money back that they had initially expected to make this year. So you're going to have lots of, you know, Yakupov autographs probably, I don't want to say flooding the market, but he's going to be a big name in the product. And then you're going to have all the guys who are going to be coming for the 2013 draft who are going to be kind of popular. So a double rookie class is something I really feel the card companies are banking on, and you could kind of tell because they were really pushing it at the summit. They were really talking about the double rookie class. And with Prizm, you know, that's a new Panini product that they unveiled this year, and it's now going into their fourth sport with hockey. And I just think that it's sort of like a wait and see. You know, it did well in basketball. For some reason, these products do well in basketball. It did okay in football. They're going to come out with the baseball very soon, and then they're going to have the hockey. So it was just kind of like a wait and see to see if this is going to become one of, like, Panini's signature products.
Right. Now, I've got to ask you about this Topps Retailing for Success seminar that we both kind of sat through for, like, it seemed like forever. And toward the end, it got good because they had a question and answer session. But I guess I just want to get your perspective, probably specifically on that question and answer session. When some of the customer service issues were being addressed, they talked vaguely about distributors being able to communicate on behalf of the stores for customer service. But it all is very vague in my mind, obviously. I guess I just want to get your kind of fresh perspective on that kind of brief 15-minute period where Topps kind of did address some of their customer concerns and what you remember, I guess, from that.
Yeah. Well, I wish it was a little longer. I wish, you know, Topps was out there for Q&A a little longer, because I think that there were so many questions that had been brought up during that session for dealers, and not the Retailing for Success part, but when it came to, like, changing how they're going to work with their hobby shops. And because there was all these questions, I don't think they allowed an ample amount of time to get a lot of these questions answered. So after sitting there for, like, I think it was like 2.5 or 3 hours of the session, and then just only allowed 15 minutes, I don't think it was actually fair to the dealers. So I actually wish that they had given a little bit more time for the dealers to ask their questions. The way I understood it at the time, and I have to go back to my notes to make sure, is that they're going to cut out a lot of, like, the direct sort of customer service reps for the hobby shops, and instead deal in, like, with the distributors. So the distributors will deal directly with Topps, and it's, you're sort of having, like, a middleman going on here. In the way I kind of understood it, which I don't know how that's going to be any better, but apparently I guess they were just overwhelmed by the amount of, you know, questions they were getting from hobby shops that they couldn't successfully deal with everybody. So maybe this is how they figured would be the best solution for them.
All right, and I think even the next day there, the distributors got up and talked, and I thought you made a very good point on Twitter. You said, and it was clear that some of the dealers didn't have a very good relationship with some of the distributors. So I thought you made a very good point that if Topps is passing down this customer service issues to the dealer, to the distributors, but the dealers don't like the distributors, so I guess from your own kind of perspective, what would you like to see Topps do? Is there any suggestions that you could give or ideas that you have, or are you just kind of waiting to see what their plan is?
Well, I think, you know, Topps, you know, they have a lot of money. They're a big business. They've probably done the research. They think this is a good idea. So I think it'd be fair to wait and see, but on a very – without knowing a lot of the background information, a basic solution would be just hire a few more customer service reps to deal with the issues. That's just be my basic answer. But honestly, it's without knowing the background and not knowing what exactly these people are doing, because, you know, sometimes people get mad about, like, you know, trivial things that in their eyes are big but aren't really big in the grand scheme of things. So, but it matters to them, you know. So it's tough to know. Without knowing the full story, it's tough to actually give, like, a full opinion on that.
I guess what's your overall kind of grade for the summit, if you were to kind of grade it on an A to F scale? And would you encourage people – I mean, it's $400 to attend, and then obviously you got to get out to Vegas. Would you kind of give your personal stamp of recommendation on people to come to the event?
I know collectors on Twitter were like, man, this sounds great, I want to go. For collectors, I wouldn't recommend it at all. Yeah, you get some pretty cool giveaways. Like, let's not lie, a lot of people go for the giveaways. However, right. like, you, that's not going to make you your money back, and I don't know what else you're going to get out of it, because it's really, really for the business side of the hobby. It's really for dealers to learn stuff. You know, I asked a couple different dealers, you know, just I'm like, what do you get out of this? And really, they said, as long as I come up with one really good idea that I could take back with me and apply that to my shop, then it's worth it, because then over the course of a year, they're going to make that $400 back plus whatever, like, and, you know, the hotel wasn't that expensive, but whatever, like, you know, travel costs was. So as long as they get one really good idea, you know, they could go back and apply that and use it in a way that's going to be successful at their stores. So for dealers, I think it was a really cool event, and I think it's important because then you're also learning about what's coming up for the next year. So I think that's really cool, too, and it's a great way to network with other dealers as well.
Are you planning to go to Chicago for the National in July?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. What you went last year to Baltimore. What I'm sure you'd recommend collectors kind of going to that. And I guess that's the kind of the next big event on the kind of card collecting calendar. What are you looking forward to this year in Chicago?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. There's some really cool, like, autograph guests. So I would love to, and not even this time, I just think there's cool autograph guests. And last year, I know we interviewed some of the players that were there, like Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders, and there's a really cool article that went up about them on Beckett.com. So just to be able to, like, see some of those guys and, like, talk to them, and it's interesting to talk to them about their collecting experience, because some of them, like, you know, I never really collected cards, whereas Barry Sanders was sitting there talking about how when he first came up, he's following in Beckett, like, what the cost of his rookie card was. And he was like, come on, let's, you know, be more money. So he was rooting for his own card to, like, you know, skyrocket in value. So it was pretty cool just to hear the background of, like, you know, we think of these players and we sort of, you know, maybe hold them up on pedestals at times. But then they're normal, too. You know, they're just like the rest of us. Some of them are really into cards and love collecting and stuff like that. And I think that's really cool. The other part about the National that I absolutely love is seeing people that, like, you talk to on Twitter or Facebook or email or on message boards, and you get to see them and hang out with them. And, you know, you really make a lot of friends online. But then when you actually get to sit down and with people and hang out with them, it really helps that relationship a lot. So those are my two favorite things about the National.
Awesome, awesome. What are you working on right now over on Beckett.com? What stories are you working on, or maybe what's a couple last articles that you published?
Yeah, right now the football magazine is what I'm working on this week, and sort of I just posted about blog post about this, but it's sort of who surprised you in 2012? Like, you know, there were a couple of different players that sort of shined last season that, you know, people weren't expecting, like Colin Kaepernick, Alfred Morris, these guys sort of popped up out of nowhere. And I just finished working on the hockey magazine, and that one focused a little bit on Chicago because, you know, they had that crazy run, and it actually saw, you know, Patrick Kane's rookie card sort of bump up in value during that, you know, crazy streak that they had going on. So it was just, you know, a little bit of stuff here and there, always looking out for a new story, always working on different things, and trying to think if there's anything else I should be working on, but I'm not, so...
Well, I think I could speak for – I mean, I heard from so many people that appreciated your coverage of the summit, and I appreciated it because there were times where I couldn't get to an event or I wasn't in the room, and I could go right to your Twitter feed and read what was happening, and it was fantastic. So I know I can kind of speak for collectors and kind of people who are following that event that really commended your coverage. And how do people get a hold of you on Twitter, on Beckett, and are there any last words for collectors out there?
Sure. Well, first of all, I loved everything you were doing on Twitter as well, because you were out on, while I was like talking to different people, same thing, you were out on the floor talking, you know, to dealers and other people, and there was great pictures and everything you were sending out, so you were also like a lifeline. If anything was going on, I could just go to your Twitter feed and be like, oh, I need to be here right now, like where you are. So, but, no, that was great, too. But, you know, people can find me on Twitter at YanksChick, which is YanksChick, or they could just email me at SusanL@Beckett.com. I pretty much respond to whatever people write to me. So, that's it.
Susan, thank you so much, and we'll have to get you back on here real soon.
Oh, sounds good. Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Yep, thanks for coming on the show.
Bye. Bye.
Well, that was great. Wow.
She's great. Well, man. I mean, she knows her stuff. She knows her stuff like nobody's business. I mean, she really understands the hobby. And the other thing is she has a journalism background, something which I don't have in that. I mean, I was learning from her how to kind of properly cover some of these events. I probably could have learned more from her because she really kind of handles herself in a professional way. And definitely people, you know, if you're not following her on Twitter or you're not reading her articles that have come out of Beckett.com, and they're in the magazine and also online. So you got to check out online and then you got to check out the magazine too. So it's really, really good stuff.
Definitely, yeah. That was a great interview. I didn't have a whole lot to say. It was nice to be able to just sit back and listen to everything. And it was great to get her point of view on the summit. And one thing that she did say that it actually probably applied to 99% of the people about how dealers weren't trying to sell you anything. Well, when you're a group breaker and you're there, distributors. I mean, literally, lobster, steak, let's go. Come on, take us out. How much credit do you want? How much credit do you want? Come on, $50,000. Come do business with us. Come do business with us. So that's where the difference is. But obviously, yeah, card shops, and there's, you know, comparing it to the national where people are trying to sell cards in boxes, it's a little bit more laid back for most people. But I mean, seriously, yeah, we were getting hit up trying to jump on to the next distributor. Hey, you guys don't do business with us. Why? What can we do for you? So.
Oh, they love you guys. I mean, distributors are all about the group breaking phenomenon. I mean, because I think I talked to a guy, somebody mentioned to me that, oh, you know, I think I mentioned on the social media thing that, hey, you know, some of these distributors' biggest customers are these group breakers, like without question in my mind. And somebody said, ah, now you're full of crap. And I said, show me a card store doing 10K in orders a week. Show me one card store that does that. And I was talking to card store guys that were like, a case was a lot to them. To sell through an entire case of a product, that was a challenge, and that's a big order for them, let alone doing it every week. So the distributors, and I think it seemed like the distributors did very well with the football because of the group breaking. And what happens in 2013 with some of these I was thinking about this today randomly, but you really need to be pushing these companies, Topps and Panini, to release these checklists a little sooner, especially for these 2013 football products, because I have a feeling they are going to mix some of these veterans in. We know who the rookies are going to be here in a few weeks here, a couple months. We're going to know who the rookies are, who are going to be the premier guys and going to be in every set. There are going to be products that might be sneaky products where there's some very good veteran content, and that checklist might change product to product, and the amount of veteran hits and stuff and kind of desirable veteran cards is going to change from product to product, and it's going to be to your guys' advantage to know beforehand what some of the hot. I don't think every product is going to be hot, and I'm sure it wasn't last year, but the fact that you had three quarterbacks in Griffin, Luck, and Russell Wilson really carry the torch, you know, not only for the products themselves, but for group breakers themselves. I mean, everybody wanted to get into a break. The Browns were a good team to get in the break last year.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of teams that you wouldn't normally think of. And some of the teams like the Patriots and the Raiders and the Steelers, some of these more popular NFL teams were actually horrible teams in breaks because there was no content. There was no, you know, really good rookie for those teams. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens in 2013 here.
You had at least three running backs that went over 1,000 yards. You had Trent Richardson, you had Alfred Morris, and you had Doug Martin. So, I mean, three Pro Bowl quarterbacks. I don't think Alfred Morris made the Pro Bowl, but he should have. I mean, 1,600 yards, but he actually probably should have got Rookie of the Year, and people are saying I'm crazy for that. But, that, I mean, what rookies have you ever seen that's had 1,600 rushing yards and, you know, 13 touchdowns or whatever he did? So this is my thought, and I think we might have mentioned it in an earlier episode, but you know how they have these rookie premier jerseys? Why don't they release these guys next year with their game-worn rookie jerseys?
So now they're going to get these jerseys that they wore in these games from their rookie year. And I guess it would maybe you flood the market on more rookie cards, but you could actually make a case that this is his rookie jersey because he wore it in his rookie season and release it in a 2013 product. So now you got a Griffin game-worn jersey in a card from his rookie year. So even though it's a second-year card, it's still a game-worn rookie jersey because all the jerseys that were in the products from this year are from the rookie premiere, so they weren't really worn in a game. So let's face, I mean, you know, so – and you also, they wore Reebok at the rookie premiere because that was before the Nike deal. So you have a lot of those NFL shields and stuff that were still Reebok. So now you have Nike this year too. So it's, you know, you could make a whole different card, you know. And that's just an idea if things tank, you know, get more on the game worn, make the rookie class of 2012 make it come back in 2013 with the, you know, top 10 names. So I mean. I don't know if they'll do that, but it's just a thought. I mean, call Panini and hit them up. Say, Tracy Hackford, let's get this plan going. But that kind of segues us right into head-to-head, Panini versus Topps. There was two football releases released on Friday. It was, like, right after the summit. It's, like, kind of planned it that way. Topps Valor football came out, and Panini Totally Certified, both 2012 products, came out on Friday. There's not a huge buzz on both these products. I think they were both strong products. I wanted to start kind of category by category. We'll start with Dan. Why don't you compare the designs of both cards?
Well, if anybody's familiar with the Totally Certified line, it's been in basketball for a while now. They essentially used the same design, same technology, sharp-looking cards. Single piece memorabilia. I mean, the thing about that product it's like probably $120 a box or something like that. Six pack, six hits. So a hit per pack. You're going to get single color relics, but you're going to get guys like Vet Guy. You're going to get like Michael Turner and, you know, guys like that, which is pretty cool. But you are going to get some of the hits are going to be like $3 jersey cards. But overall, I mean, it's a good product. It's a good value based on how many hits you get. You can't go wrong with six hits for $120. Pretty exciting product to open. I do love the base design. I love that like kind of foiling, like kind of 3D type look to them. But very similar to basketball. Am I comparing it to Valor right now, or am I just talking about Totally Certified?
Yeah, yeah. I know the designs are absolutely completely different, but I just wanted to get your who won in the design department from in your opinion?
Well, I would say Valor because Valor was so much different. Valor was like, man, all killer, man, all killer product. Thicker cardstock, a little bit of chipping, but not as bad as previous releases. But a little bit of chipping. I do like how they have, on card autos. You can't go wrong with those. Lower numbered stuff. Even the base cards were relatively low numbered. So that, to me, indicates that they didn't make tons of this stuff. Meaning either they held back a little bit or the pre-order numbers were not huge. So they just didn't make too much of it. The different designs for the different parallels of autos with, like, I think it would say, like, strength or, like, endurance. Card design's a little busy, but still pretty sleek. And you can't go wrong with on-card autos. And, it, like I said, like, all the stuff is relatively low-numbered. And the value is killer. I don't know what street price is. I want to say street price is somewhere in, like, the $150 price range.
No, more like $190.
So probably
about $100. It's $100 more than Totally Certified.
All right.
It was kind of a weird. I mean, they previewed this set right at the beginning of the year. They actually made a dedicated Twitter account to this, and I really don't see a whole lot of tweets. I think they wanted to roll it out a little sooner. So I think the marketing on it kind of didn't go the way they planned, at least from my opinion. But the statement they put on their sell sheet is, to have valor, one must be disciplined, have honor, be built for speed and strength, and exude confidence and heart, and with this comes glory.
So, and then they have a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasm, the great devotion, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows the triumph of high achievement, and at, who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daringly great, or tearing greatly, I can't talk, so that his place shall never be those cold, timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. So they were just kind of trying to theme this. It was when I first heard about it, I'm like, this is weird. So you're looking at an Andrew Luck card that has discipline on it. I'm looking at a Trent Richardson that has glory. So each one of these parallels have different themes based on that above quote that I just said. So they got honor, glory, heart, courage. So I thought it was gimmicky at first, but when you see the cards, it actually does work. It kind of goes well with the card design. And it's not just rookie base, like past Topps design. I would still say it's probably 70-30 on rookies, but they have inserted a little bit more. Like, I think there is one guaranteed vet hit, retired veteran or autograph card per box. So you are getting something different. I think we pulled like a Matt Ryan auto, LaShawn McCoy, I want to say, Percy Harvin. I think we even got a Jim Plunkett auto. So they're inserting some more stuff, which is unlike Topps this year. But I agree with you.
To clarify, though, those vet autos that we were getting were all redemptions. I don't know if any of them were live.
That's true. There was a – I think there's some of the
– I know the Ryan was a redemption, and I know the Plunkett was a redemption. And yeah, redemptions are redemptions. There's nothing we can really do about it. We just kind of got to suck it up.
Yeah, I think we got a Mark Ingram that was live, so I guess he's considered a
veteran
or a bench warmer, not of the girl type. But design-wise, I would give it to Valor, but then again, you got to also look at the price point. So you're paying $100 more for a more premium hit, so it's tough. Certified, I've looked at a lot, so maybe the refreshness of Valor was like, wow. I mean, even the packaging, it comes in a metal tin that has a big V on it. It literally looks like it came out of something from Star Wars. It's like, it blew my mind when I opened up the case and I saw these metal tins with cards in it. I mean, literally a 360-degree packaging. So it was interesting, very interesting.
The packaging goes to Topps on this one. Is what you're saying.
Packaging the top.
I think if this product, the Valor, would have came out 3 months ago, it would probably be $250, $300 a box. If it came out like while there was football still going on, it would have been the biggest product of the year. Now we're at the point where at this point of the releases, everybody's waiting for what I consider the cream of the crop football release is NT. Well,
right.
People are waiting for NT. People are going to be saving their money for NT. Some people will be saving their money for 5-star. This is just one of those products I think is going to get swept under the rug, and not because it is not an amazing product, an amazing design. It's just when it was released. This would have been great in the at the week 10, week 12 of the football season. This would have been an amazing product. It would have skyrocketed in value.
And maybe I don't remember seeing a whole lot of rookie redemptions, and maybe that's why. Maybe they were basically holding out to get these rookie autos signed, because like I said, we pulled a Griffin auto, we pulled a Richardson auto, and in a lot of Panini sets and other top sets, they were redemptions. So maybe they really made it a point to make sure that they got these cards in. And that's
I think this is one of the products that next year, when people are dealing with the newer rookie class, the 2013 rookie class, you're going to see people scrambling for this product.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see this product go up in value, because everybody's already going to – NT is sold out. Like, 5-star is sold out. I mean, that stuff is going to go up regardless of how it is, because it's just, you know, the demand for it. But I think Valor is going to be one of those products when football starts again in September, October, people are going to be gravitating towards this product and picking it up, and it's going to go up in value.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so if you had $250 in your pocket, would you buy two boxes of certified, totally certified football, or would you buy a box of Valor?
I'd buy a box of Valor.
Okay.
I'd buy,
well, I guess
no,
that kind of...
No. I'd buy a tin of Valor.
Thanks for clarifying for everybody out there. Plus, you got a nice little... Even if you get dumpy cards, you got the collectible tin, you know? I mean, seriously. So, yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, it's obviously the quantity over quality comparison. So if you buy two boxes of certified, you're going to get 12 hits. I mean, that jumpstarts your PC, especially if you're starting out. But if you want the more sexy, higher-end hits, and you go with Valor, it's a tough comparison. I think if 220 for me, I guess it would be 240 because totally certified, you know. Well, you'd have, if you bought one box of Valor, you'd still have, you know, maybe $40 to buy some loose packs of something else, or join a group break at mojobreak.com. But I think I would probably go the Valor route as well if it was me.
Well, it depends on what type of collector you are. If you want something that's going to have some base, if you want to have a variety of hits, or if you're going for, you know, the big hit, you're going for like the luck. You're looking for like a luck, like number to 50 on card auto. You're looking for the big hit. Definitely go for Valor. But if you're into base cards, you want to see some cool inserts and all that stuff, then totally certified. It's hard to compare the two products because it's aimed towards a different market. There's one that's kind of going for that like low end to mid market, and then there's one going for that mid to high market. So,
and looking at the checklist here on Totally Certified, it has a much deeper checklist. But it's a lot harder to pull some of these greens. I know we got a green auto of Steve Largent, which is a really nice card. So we pulled something like that. I mean, there was a lot more guys that you'd see in their set, lot more variety, I should say. But it's definitely harder to pull something big. I mean, we got a Luck and a Griffin. I think, and one case had a Luck auto, one case had a Griffin auto. So,
I gotta say, those emerald parallels are some of the sickest looking cards that I've seen.
Yeah, and Ryan remembers them from Totally Certified Basketball. Everybody was chasing those greens.
Oh yeah,
yeah, those are good looking cards.
Yeah. So, what do you think in terms of what could we go rip and flip? Would you still go Valor?
I'd go Valor right now. Like I said, I think this product is going to go up in value. I don't think it's going to go up in value in like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but I think in September, October, I think people are going to be going after this product again. Because at that point, you're going to have the start of the releases of 2013. It's going to be base heavy sets, the lower end stuff, and this stuff is still going to be available. Like I said, you know, you're going to buy a box of NT for, it could be $500 maybe at that point.
Yeah.
Or you're going to buy some Valor for $220, maybe even $200. So.
True. Yeah, it does depend on the value.
I think from a rip and flip standpoint, you got to go with Valor right now for what the price is. I mean, it would not be a bad idea to, if you had some extra money sitting around, to pick up a couple cases and hold on to them until September, October.
Most definitely. And one thing, you know, I did want to mention about Totally Certified, which I wish they could find a way to make them live, is the video cards, because it definitely, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan or Dan, I think Panini was the first company to come out with a video trading card, correct?
Upper Deck swooped them by a little bit, I want to say.
Okay.
It's hard to say, I think Upper Deck was first to market, but Panini, I think, maybe had the idea first or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I always thought Upper Deck released it first.
Yeah, maybe I didn't catch wind of that.
But I could be wrong.
And I know with licensing, maybe they do it in hockey now, but I don't think they've done it in a couple years with any of their Upper Deck products. But the point that I'm trying to make is that's definitely an innovation, and it's, I would love to see them, but it's a redemption. And, I mean, rightfully so, obviously, because the card's probably huge, and people would pack search and find it or weigh boxes or whatnot. So I wish there was a way to make the – maybe with technology, maybe 2-3 years down the line, they can actually make a smaller video card that actually is the same weight, same size as a regular hit, and then we could have the joy of pulling it and seeing it on camera and getting that video out there, because it just sucks to get that redemption. Yeah, you know it's going to be an amazing card, but it just – I know they're made. I mean, the one we pulled was a Ryan Tannehill base version. So they have autoed versions and they have non-autoed versions. This happened to be the non-autoed version, but it would have been sweet to pull it out of the pack and then just hit the play button. I think you have to charge them too, so I think they have a battery. And so, I mean, I think when you pull it out of the pack, it's not charged completely, so it's not like you can pull it out of the pack and play it. But maybe the technology down the line will give us that little experience, because it's definitely a bummer to have a redemption, but I know fully why they do it. I mean, what do you think what do you think, Dan?
I feel what you're saying. I just until they change the technology for it, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, let's face it, that video card is probably going to weigh the amount of 4 to 5 packs.
Right.
I mean, collectively, so it just wouldn't be fair to put it in a box. But I get what you're saying. You know. Maybe put it in a bunch of little pieces and have to engineer your own video card. Get a little soldering iron and.
Well, and like a lot of cards, a lot of big hits that we've gotten have been redemptions. I mean, we pulled the Russell Wilson from Limited. We pulled the 101. I mean, that was the card to have, but it was a redemption. So it's like you're staring at a white piece of paper. And I have no problems with redemptions. I know that it's the athlete, it's not the manufacturer, but it's just. For what we do, it's a bummer to not have the excitement. I mean, you're excited that you see it says Russell Wilson 101 on the redemption, but you're also wishing that you could have it in your hand, too, at the same time. So that's the downside. But
yeah, I mean, as long as these manufacturers keep on filling these redemptions, I don't have an issue with it. Where it starts becoming a real problem is where they stop fulfilling these redemptions. Then we have a problem. But as long as everybody keeps on getting their cards in a timely manner, and I know all these manufacturers are doing the best they can, and we understand the logistics of why there are redemptions, but as long as people get their cards, I'm fine with it.
Exactly. Yeah,
I know, and I get what you're saying. Like, it loses the sex appeal when you open up a pack and it's like, you know, a $2,000 card, but it's just a redemption. It looks like every other redemption.
Right.
You know, you just got to play it up, man.
And for that, yeah, you got it. You got to throw it in there. But,
boosh.
You know, at that, when we pulled that Russell Wilson, we weren't even sure. I didn't know platinum was 101 because they're so rare to pull. So I was like, oh, platinum. And then we looked it up and we're like, oh, 101. Then we knew it was a 101. So I would have been more excited knowing if it, like, they should have wrote 101 on there. Like, literally, should have said 101. But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day.
You know what? I could have put 101, one of one on it for you. Been like,
hand
there you
wrote
go,
it.
Doug. Hand wrote just it. Like, get excited.
Just like Topps Heritage. It's right around the card there. Well, I wanted to move into Mojo Break is moving to Ustream. So, Blog TV, if you don't know, you haven't been online in a while, Blog TV sold out to younow.com. So, and basically, they just bought their customer list. So Blog TV is no more. There's a lot of breakers that call Blog TV their home or did. And now YouNow is a completely different model. It's a streaming site, but you have to stay to enable to keep your broadcast going live. People have to vote for you. So it's really not – and I was like, people will vote for us. So I thought maybe we could try it, but it's more geared towards like DJs. So you're having a – you know, a wiki battle with the next guy, and you want you to vote so that he doesn't get on the page, and there's no, you know, so that's what it's aimed for, or people that want to talk about Justin Bieber, which, you know, I don't know if I know a whole lot about Justin Bieber, so I don't think I could make it on the on the show.
So you can follow me on You Now. I'm doing a Justin Bieber little Q&A. I'm going to talk to all Justin Bieber's fans.
About him and Selena Gomez?
Yeah, yeah, her too.
Nice, nice. Well, there you go, Dan.
No, I mean, that's the whole, you're dead on with the, it does work for the DJ battles or maybe the MC battle rapping or maybe battle dancing or some kind of battle.
Dance mom,
maybe
one of those.
Maybe we can do like an arm wrestling battle and see who can get to vote for. or a Rochambeau battle. We can do a lot of things. Square dancing battle.
There you go. I cut a rug.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. No, but I mean, it's pretty much like a competition-based streaming site. And it's hand-in-hand with Facebook. In order to have an account, you have to have a Facebook account. If it wasn't for Mojo Break, I probably would not have a Facebook account. I don't do Facebook. I'm not a Facebook guy.
Me neither.
You know,
I don't want to see how many times you won on lucky slots and, you know, which winners meant to you.
I don't care what level of song pop you're on, Doug.
I tried to turn that off, man. It's a conspiracy on there.
Dude, there's the bus, bro. There's the bus. I just threw you under. Sorry, had to do it.
Song pop, I've never heard about it. Tell me about this. What is it?
I don't need to talk about it. You know about it. You're a champion. You're the best. You're the self-proclaimed champion of song pop.
Well,
everybody on Facebook who's a friend of yours on Facebook knows about it. So, cool.
Yeah, I know, which sucks. But if we had a Pearl Jam contest, I'd lose to Ryan in a heartbeat.
I think we'd all lose to Ryan.
I think he has the Pearl Jam category locked up. So. when you're dealing with, you know, 80s, 90s rap or modern country or 70s, 80s rock or metal, I got those categories on lock. So
you like how you put modern country up there like second. getting up there in age, huh, Doug?
Check out the new Seven Dust album that came out today, which is actually pretty sweet, by the way. I'm trying to get my coolness factor back up there because I do listen to Seven Dust. I do listen to country, you know, every once in a while. I watch the Country Music Awards just every once in a while. It might be in, you know, on the other room when I'm putting up breaks. But Seven Dust has an awesome album, so just a shameless plug there for Seven Dust from Atlanta, Georgia.
So Doug's putting away the Mark Echo wear and on the Wranglers, man.
Come on, man. It wasn't Echo. It was Boo Boo. What are you talking about? What?
It
was Boo Boo. And then I was too cheap to buy Boo Boo, so I went to Boo Boo. No, I'm just kidding. yeah. I think I'm a Levi guy now. Does that make me country?
Nah, dude. Wrangler, man.
Wrangler.
I've never bought a pair of Wranglers before in my life.
Not yet. That's like in the next 6 months. You'll be like... I'm out of the Levi game. I'm in the Wranglers. I love Brett Favre. I just want to hang out and talk to him all day about Wranglers.
Yeah, and then I'm going to wear a cowboy hat with a piece of wheat coming out my mouth. And
wow.
Change my accent to
Tony Lama boots. Making it happen.
How do you even know this stuff?
I get around.
Well, we got off a little bit off topic here, but I think we're talking about Blog TV, but we're switching over to Ustream, and so you guys can catch us at ustream.com/channel/mojobreak, and you can see it on our website on how to find us there. So I just wanted to let you guys know that's going to be our new home for now. So I know breakers are choosing Ustream, and some are going to Ustream, some are going to Vaughn Live, some are staying on You Now. So it's kind of interesting. And what do you think about the streaming? I know Colin talked about QuickTime Broadcaster. Ryan, what do you think about like streaming sites and breakers?
Yeah, I think I would use, I mean, I got the impression that there's at least
a bunch of breakers who do okay financially and stuff. So I would use the very, very best tools that I possibly could. If that's Ustream at $300 a month, if that's QuickTime by having to buy a $5,000 Mac. The thing I would do actually is I would make sure that I streamed the breaks on my website and that I would try to be getting as many people onto my website as possible. And then even underneath, you could have your upcoming breaks so that they, when they click on them, it opens in a new window or a new tab so that they, it doesn't break the, you know, it doesn't interrupt the stream they have going on. But you might even be able to get some shopping done at that moment. So I bet with the Ustream, you're able to just take that. And even if people don't watch, even if people rather go to Ustream or whatever, I think just having that option of being able to be like, okay, I'm on ryansbreaks.com website and I'm watching him break this product right now. Oh, and then he has this, he's doing this thing tomorrow. Oh, great, I'm going to get into this because this is a lot of fun. I think that I would, it's the most important thing, aside from your website and your kind of ordering kind of procedure and how that works out, it's the most important tool for a breaker, I think, is having a quality stream, not having, you know, I think the problem with Blog TV is you'd get an ad every, like, you know, 10 minutes or something, a pre-roll would pop up, or the video quality wasn't very good. I would spend as much money as I possibly could to make sure that I was getting the best stream, preferably commercial-free, just because that's going to enhance the customer experience on the back end there who's watching this.
Right.
The customer's going to get entertainment value. Even if they don't get that Russell Wilson one-of-one card in the break, they're still like, hey, it was a lot of fun. I sat down for 45 minutes, watched this case getting open. Shoot, I could have got a great card. I ended up with a few good cards. And it becomes entertainment value. That's why I try to tell people with these breaks, customers of breaks, I'm like, hey, you know, you may not get a really good card, but if you sit there and watch the break happen live, that can be pretty entertaining. And as long as the breaker is kind of moving it along at a decent clip, it provides, it's like watching a TV show. And Lord knows how much people pay for TV cable service and DirecTV service every month and stuff. So the fact that you're able to get a little entertainment, watch a case of a product being opened, and have a chance to hit a good hit, you know, so I would just use the highest quality stream, host it some way on your, maybe not host it on your website, but have that capability of being able to watch the break on your physical website and go from there. Always be kind of in tune to changes and always be looking out for a better way of doing things. You know, this kind of whole streaming video thing live and stuff, it's still a really new technology. Shoot, the internet itself is a pretty new kind of thing. So, and then the streaming live video has really only happened in the last few years here. So there aren't a whole lot of great options out there. And I would definitely look at something like Ustream, a pay service. And I've heard some good things about Ustream, so... even it sounds expensive, you know, the price tag of a few hundred dollars a month, but in reality, it's not very much. Your customer experience will be so much better, and you're going to look so much more professional than. I mean, I think I saw somebody tweet something out. Oh, I'm not going to use Blog TV. I'm going to use some hideous looking website .tv or something. I just looked at it and I shook my head. I'm like, okay, here I am as a customer. I'm not going to, it was, I think you even said the name, Vaughn Live or .tv or something. Like, are you kidding me? As a customer, I would not go to a website that sounded, you know, like some Joe Blow made it. You know, I'd rather go to Ustream. I'd rather go to Google Hangout. I'd rather go to an Apple connection and not... You know, even like Justin TV, I remember that was popular for a while. And that thing was all glitchy and had some questionable, because sometimes some of these streaming sites have really questionable content on them. You could go to Justin TV and see some things that are more X-rated, R-rated.
Right.
You could go to, and who knows what this YouNow thing is. I think my brother mentioned it. And, you know, the only people who make money on the streaming, these streaming things are female, you know, YouTube, and then these, you know, cam girl, elite, you know, this 18 and over stuff. Those are the only people who make money off this stuff. Blog TV wasn't making any money. That's why they had to sell. And I would never send, you know, I would if I had a box break website, I would never send anybody to a website that might remotely be hosting any kind of adult 18 and over kind of thing. So I would be very careful about using anything that's not trusted. And like I said, I saw somebody tweet out, say, hey, I'm not going to use Blog TV anymore. I'm using this something VaughnLive.tv. And I just was like, wow. Like, wow. You make all this money on these box breaks and these case breaks, and you can't even spend good money on providing, you know, the streaming service. Like, you got to start spending some money. You can't expect right. everything to be – and that's one thing about the group breaker media that kind of surprised me. It seemed like people wanted somebody to come up with something, a free option for them, you know, to replace Blog TV. They wanted somebody to set up a free association for them. And I was just kind of sitting back, shaking my head, being like, in every single business I've ever studied or every business that I've started, if I needed to do something, it was on me. To do it. It was on me to figure it out. It was on me to find out that information, not sit back and wait for somebody to provide something for free. And if the only people who can make money on streaming services, Google's, YouTube, and then these 18 and over cam sites, then trust me, nobody is going to come up with some sort of profitable solution in the box breaking category. Trust me, I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for that for 1 second. So you know, it's on the onus of these box breakers to go out and look into a Ustream, look into a QuickTime, look into a Google Hangout, and see if that's something that's going to work for them. That I definitely wouldn't use. From what I hear about you now, I mean, I wouldn't use you now under any circumstances. It just sounds like it's going to be a big old scam, and who knows what that website's going to turn out to be.
Oh, and I think people don't realize. I mean, we're such a small category to these websites. I mean, we're like a blip on their radar. I mean, really. I mean, I was on Ustream today. Joe Rogan had 3,000 viewers, and that was just. And he does a podcast like four times a week. So, he was featured. I mean, we will never. I mean, hopefully, maybe one day we will never have 1,000, let alone 3,000. It's not going to happen. So nobody's going to hear us out and make a category for box breakers. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I'm wrong one day that this becomes somewhat national, but I don't think it is. So there's not going to be anybody that caters to us. And just doing some small-time research on what it would take to start a streaming site. I mean, you're talking about servers. You're talking about acquiring a technology and then having somebody just maintain it, let alone cost you thousands of dollars a month. Somebody that knows how to troubleshoot on embedded player issues, you know, streaming issues, quality issues, chat issues. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy on all – I mean, the technology is relatively new, so there's still a lot left to be learned with the technology.
Well, I mean, you're not talking one person who's going to do that. You're going to need
right.
a team of tech people who are going to be on the clock all the time walking people through all these problems.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, I was on Ustream today, and there was CBS like streams from like CBS News like streams from Ustream, and they had like 42 million views. So I mean, there's definitely like legitimate companies like using Ustream as a tool. I don't know why we went into blog. I don't know why we didn't look into a better.
Yeah, looking back on it,
like, I mean, absolutely, it's your interaction with the customer. It 100% should not be filled with ads. There shouldn't be something that you're not trying to sell. I mean, who needs to buy shampoo and whatever the hell they're throwing ads up there for? It should be ad free. It should 100% be ad free. You shouldn't have to have your customers sit through ads when they've already paid for your service and the product.
Right. Yeah. So, looking back on it, I guess we were just really blind to it. And I didn't know any better because that's what people were using. So,
and we relied on it so long that we got used to it, and that was something that we maybe needed to adapt to. So, and I haven't used Ustream yet, so maybe I'll have a different opinion on it next week, but all signs point to it being a legitimate, easy-to-use, HD broadcast, ad-free site. So, but I'm just not quite familiar with it yet, so I'll definitely listen next week, and we'll be able to tell you, because we're going to use it all day tomorrow. We're going to tell you, you know, we like it or not. But, you know, what's interesting is that YouTube does provide a live streaming service, but they don't let just everybody. It takes a lot to get approved to be able to live stream on YouTube. So I was actually going to try to contact somebody from YouTube and say, what does it take? But they're basically just, you have to look on your account, on your YouTube account, and it'll say live stream. So just one day they decide that you can do it. I don't know what it takes. But that would be.
You know what they'll do is they'll eventually roll that out to everyone. There used to be a 15-minute upload time on YouTube, and everybody was uploading long videos, had to chop them up to three different parts. You know, they've since done away with it. Google Hangout the same way. It was only certain people now. So at some point, I bet within the next year, everyone will be able to live stream. And I think they're just worried that, you know, Google is very concerned about adult content and, you know, kind of and no content. So I bet if you did actually contact them, they could clearly look through your YouTube account and your videos and go to your website. And they actually do that. They'll actually check you out, sniff you out, and be like, okay, yeah, this guy's cool. He's not going to, you know, put up anything adult kind of content or, you know, stuff that they don't want on YouTube, and you'll be set to go. But I bet it's something that's really cool that, you know, people should definitely want Google to get involved, because Google's the type of company that they don't care. They would not care less about losing money on a streaming site if it meant bringing people to YouTube, consuming ad, bringing people to the search engine, consuming ad. So Google would throw millions upon millions of dollars at some kind of live streaming service, probably through YouTube, and they wouldn't have to make a dime off of it. And they might even open up so that you could run your own ads so that you could make your own money off your own videos. So I think that's a positive thing that Google's getting involved. I think you're on the right track with the YouTube, and I wouldn't feel too bad about starting with Blog TV. I think that's what a lot of people would have done, was start with Blog TV, kind of use it for a while, kind of weigh the pros and cons, and then when the fire gets hot and they sold to whatever this company you now is, you did the right thing. You did some research and you say, hey, here's this option over here. Sure, it's expensive, but it's going to be better. Look, CBS uses it. Joe Rogan uses it. CNN, you know, all these kind of reputable people are using it on a daily basis. People are familiar with Ustream. They have phone apps, and it seems like a kind of an up-and-up kind of site. So I think for breakers, Ustream, I think, would be, you know, the best option, I guess, for now. But I would always be kind of tuned into this, whatever Google's doing. If Apple kind of has something that's easier to use without having to own some $5,000 Macintosh, I would always kind of look that way too.
Right.
But I think yeah, I'll definitely be checking out your break on Ustream and can kind of give you a perspective of, well, I've watched a bunch of the breaks from a bunch of different breakers on Blog TV. I can't remember the last time I watched something on Ustream, so it would be kind of good for me to check out some of the stream and just see how it looks and kind of the look and feel of it. And I bet you guys are gonna do A-okay over there with that.
I think so. One of the features I got to play with, I don't know if we'll be able to roll it out tomorrow or not, is that the ability to we do random style breaks. For those that don't know about our breaks, we use random.org. So we random it. We roll the dice before we do the random. So how many times, if the dice is 10, we random the list 10 times, so on and so forth. Well, before, we were pointing the camera at the screen, and, you know, it's probably hard to see. You know, it's hard to see a camera looking at a computer screen. But there's a feature on Ustream, supposedly, that I got to find out how to use it, that I can actually just click my screen to the viewers. So it's like a live presentation. So they'll be able to see our random, you know, clearly on my computer. So that will be a nice feature, so people can, you know, it more legitimizes it, makes them see their names a lot easier, They can see the list, and it's a lot better than me pointing a camera at my computer screen. So hopefully, or Dan for that matter, hopefully we figure out how to use that soon, and we roll that out, and the randoms become a little bit better and a little bit more easy to follow.
That sounds like we're going to retire our score box, our score hockey box.
I know, seriously.
That's scaring me a little bit. I'm gonna put that on. I'm putting that on eBay. Like,
yeah,
$10,000, buy it now or best offer.
game used score box. For those that don't know, we use a Logitech Sphere camera, and it doesn't really pivot. What's great about it is that it's right in front of us, so we don't have to move it. It doesn't fall over because it's on this big base. So in order to see the computer screen, we actually have this box of Score Hockey from 12-13. And we put the camera on top of that so that you can see the computer screen. So we've been doing that for like a year now. And, you know, if we show the screen, we won't be able to use this thing anymore. I think, and not to rip on Panini, we had Brian Gray come to the booth and open bench warmer cards for us at the summit. And he said, "What's that score box for?" And I said, "Well, we use it to sit for our camera." And he goes, "Well, I wouldn't open it either." So that was his little shot. But I mean, there's not an auto in it. It's more for, you know, cheap packs and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of packs, so it's a great value. But we can't use it in the break, so we were just unfortunately using it as a stand. So I do apologize, Panini, that I didn't open your score product, but it's been. Its uses have been beyond a dollar.
That's had so much press on that score box. So how many times have we shown that score box on camera?
Oh man,
I mean,
it's just advertisement of the Yahoo there. I mean, it's crazy. Well, I wanted to do a giveaway, guys. I don't know how many people out there in listener land are listening, but I want to give away a spot in our NBA break tomorrow. It's a 5-box NBA break, and it's totally certified, limited. Elite black box and 2 boxes of gold standard. So normally a $37 spot. So I want to give it away. What you guys need to do, for one, you have to call in, but for two, you have to go on sportscardradio.com and click on news. And when you click on news, you'll see a picture of a black box and you'll see a card. And you need to call in and tell me what card is on that black box. Actually, we pulled it, I believe. I think that's our card. And give us who the card is, and you'll win a free spot in our NBA random tomorrow. So the number is 347-855-8815. Once again, 347-855-8815. And go on sportscardradio.com and click on news, and it's the first thing that comes up. It says Industry Summit, Black Box, and there's a picture of a card. So we need you to call in and say what that card is. So first person to do so wins a free spot. So light up those phone lines, and first person to call in wins it. So, but moving on to other topics, looks like, you know, some prospects, early prospects are making the team. We got Shelby Miller, we talked about off air, a big kid from St. Louis. He's going to be the 5th starter for the Cardinals. Aaron Hicks from the Twins made the team. Julio Teheran made the team for the Braves. He's going to be the 5th starter. And the number one prospect, Jurickson Profar, did get sent down. So we won't really – he's seen a little bit of action last year, but he got sent down probably for more grooming. But it does look like we have a caller on the line, so let me pick this up. 205, how's it going?
How's it going, yeah?
What's up? Who are we speaking with?
This is Nick.
What's up?
Alabama.
Man, you're a lucky guy, man, winning spots left and right.
I hope so. I hope I get this one.
What's
RG3?
That's it. Yep, RG3, black box. It was a 3-color. It was actually won by Brian, so that was a nice little card. But, yeah, winner.
Nice.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. You won a free spot in our basketball break tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I hope to see y'all in Chicago.
Yeah, we're trying to make some plans. I don't know if we're going to be breaking there, but I think we're actually going to be planning on taking customers out to lunch, dinner, buying them cards and stuff. So we're trying to get down there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get I moved to Gator. There's my cousin. He usually been here. I break too. So I think we're going to ride up there.
Nice. Yeah, we'll have to meet you and
and take you out for a drink or lunch or whatnot. We'll figure something out.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nick, and congrats.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that's cool. Actually, that kind of segued into our next topic, because I didn't have anything else written down. I was like, what are we going to talk about? We can talk about the National. I know we mentioned it with Susan a little bit, but I think our plan of attack, without giving away too many secrets, well, there's no secrets around here, but rather than have a booth, I think we're literally going to walk and meet and talk to people, because I think that's important. I think if we actually had a booth, we're not going to be able to really talk to people out there, like kind of what we did at the summit, where we didn't get to talk to anybody because we were so busy doing breaks. I think we're going to take the opposite approach for the National, even though flip-flop, it should have been the other way. We should have been breaking into the National and talking to people at the summit. But either way, I think it's important to meet some of the people that have been behind the computer for us that we haven't been able to meet face-to-face. So I think that's going to be our goal, is just to go down there and, you know, walk around and meet people, maybe buy some cards and, you know.
You know, and I think you're dead on. I mean, I want to basically sit down and meet the people who've supported us. I mean, without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So, I'd like to get everybody together and maybe send, like, all of our customers are going to be there at the summit. I'd like to, you know, take them out for dinner or just have a place where we go where we, you know, have open bar for a couple hours and just hang out and, you know, talk about stuff that we've encountered over the last couple of years and, you know, talk to the people who truly do support us and hang out with them. And I know we are doing it kind of backwards. We probably should have been doing that at the summit instead of breaking, but, you know.
But at the end of the day, the industry people don't matter to us, really. I mean, the people that matter most to us is the customers. I mean, industry people do matter to us. I'm not, you know, spitting their faces or anything, but I'm just saying the people that watch our videos, that buy into our breaks and things like that, those are the people that we should be talking to, you know. And
yeah, I mean, the industry people do matter. They matter a lot. Without them, we wouldn't have any product to open up for people. So
yeah. I should have probably rephrased that a little bit there. Going to have Panini and Tops calling us, be like, well, we don't need you either. Cut off. But, you know, just be, you know, and I'm not talking anything about anybody that was at the summit, but it would be refreshing to sit down with actual down-to-earth collectors. I'm not saying there wasn't down-to-earth people at the summit. There was a lot of them, but there was also a lot of people that were very uptight. So I hope I'm not one of them. I hope I wasn't one of the uptight guys. I don't think of myself as being an uptight guy, but it's nice and refreshing to just sit down with normal people that don't have agendas, so to speak.
You guys
follow me there?
I feel you. I feel you.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, you don't know, when you're selling a product, you don't know the legitimacy of some of these people that are trying to sell you the product, like what they're telling you. I mean, they're saying, we love you, but do they love 20 other guys too that buy their product?
You should have used that line, Doug. Like, everybody who's trying to pitch you on something, they're like, I love what you guys do. I love you. You go, do you really love me? just make it awkward.
Yeah. Make it awkward. I like
make
it
awkward.
That's classic. That we should cut that up and put that into a soundbite right there. Seriously, do you really love me?
Do you really love me?
But, I mean, you know, everybody gets real businessy at the summit, and you know, I've never been to the National, so I mean, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the vibe there, Ryan, of what to expect at the National Sports Card Convention.
It's a freaking blast. I mean, I know attendance there has dropped since the 90s when it was just a huge show out in Anaheim. And some people, you know, I was reading somebody was kind of knocking it the other day because they said the autograph guests were kind of a similar. But you know what? The time that I went, it was just an absolute blast. You get to see, whatever you want to do. If you want to flip through some quarter bin cards and just sit there all day and get a stack of cards for $10, you could do that. If you want to buy some really expensive graded cards, you could do that. If you want to get some autographs like Emmitt Smith and Bo Jackson and all these guys, you could stand in line and do that. If you have autographs that you want to get authenticated, you could do that at PSA DNA and the JSA booth. If you have cards you want to get graded on site, Beckett, PSA, boom, they're right there. If you want to get some free promos from the Topps booth or the Panini booth, you can do that as well. There's just to me, it was just a blast, like just a happy kind of time, not time to be, you know, blasting these companies maybe like I did a week ago. It's really just kind of a time to really just enjoy the hobby, enjoy and meet some people. I might even have a table or a booth there. I have something that my brother and I, it's a secret, but my brother and I are working on something that'll be done, I hope, before the National. Good Lord. And we might have something there where we're previewing it and showing it off a little bit. So I might have a table there, but for me it's just about walking around, just looking at everything and looking at all the memorabilia on display and talking to people and find out what people's buying and stuff and taking videos of the booths and stuff. And it's just so worth it to get down there, no matter where you are, because it's just so much fun. You get to see things that you never would get to see before. And it's certainly something I'm looking forward to a lot. And I think you guys would have a lot of benefit going, whether or not you had a booth or not. I don't think it would matter, because you're going to, like you said, you're going to be able to meet some of your customers, spread some of the gospel of Mojo Break out there to the rest of the collecting community. And, you know, and all the company people will be there too, and you can kind of interact with them too. So for me, it's a happy time. It's not a time to be blasting card companies in front of customers and stuff, because that's what it is. I mean, the National is just all customers and stuff, and you know, collectors are around. So you got to be, for me, I try to be on my best behaviors at that, because it's, you know, it's the people that really matter, the customers, the collectors. Those are the people that matter. Those are why people have jobs and make money in this industry. So it's really an event for them. And that time out in Baltimore was great, and apparently the Chicago show is even better, because there's more dealers kind of in that area. There's more dealers willing to travel to Chicago. Some of the autographs are better because it's local to the Cubs and the Bulls and the White Sox and stuff, and kind of the rich sports history of heritage of Chicago. So really looking forward to it. I couldn't stress more than anything for people to at least try to check it out at least once kind of in their life.
Looking at the just the autograph signer list, I mean, it's pretty phenomenal, and they haven't even released all the names. I mean, it's very baseball heavy, but I mean, you're looking at Roberto Alomar, Johnny Bench, Jermaine Dye, Dennis Eckersley, Carlton Fisk, Bob Gibson, Tony Gwynn, Ricky Henderson, Reggie Jackson, Randy Johnson, Chipper Jones, David Justice, Pedro Martinez, Paul Molitor, Eddie Murray, Tony Perez, Jim Rice, Cal Ripken Jr., Ozzie Smith, Frank Thomas, Joe Morgan, Ernie Banks, Pete Rose, of course, Wade Boggs, Brett Saberhagen, Steve Garvey. Moving on to football, Dan Fouts, Bob Greasy, Dan Hampton, Bart Starr, Lawrence Taylor, Mike Ditka, Paul Krause, and then they have Sugar Ray Leonard, Elvin Hayes, Jerry Lucas, Bobby Hull. So, and then there's a bunch of open spaces, so they're going to be adding more. But, I mean, that alone is ridiculous. What are these lines like for some of these guys? I mean, does it take hours to get their autographs? Or
really not that bad, honestly, because I was curious myself. It's really honestly not that bad. Of course, for some of the big name guys that have a lot of demand and stuff, it's going to be a little bit of a wait, but it's not as bad as I thought. When I would look over there at the lines, I'm like, dang, I would stand in that line right now if I wanted, you know, so and so's autograph for $60. Like, it didn't seem that bad. They gave you certain times. I think sometimes they try to split you up so that everybody wouldn't line up right at 2:00 when you started signing. They would try to kind of filter you a little bit, but even the VIP package, if people are interested in going and they want to get some autographs, I would strongly suggest the VIP packages, because you're going to get some of the exclusive card sets in your duffel bag, and then you're going to get some free autograph tickets. I think you get like 10 or 12 free autographs sometimes with the VIP package. What I want to say, the VIP package runs like
I think it's two, for the whole show, I think I was checking out last night, I think it's like 230 or something like that.
230, and you know what? You get a lot of free stuff with that. And your admission ticket alone.
Go ahead. Sorry.
The admission, I think, is like 18 each day. So you're looking at 60 just to, so the VIP package, for whatever it costs, I think is worth it, especially for people who are interested in that, in the autograph signing stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's it looks pretty epic, and I don't know why we didn't go last year. I think it was just timing, and but definitely we definitely need to go this year. And like I said, main goal is to walk around, take people out to lunch, buy them drinks, whatever. There's a few people in Chicago that are going that we know that I've already talked to, and we want to be able to just FaceTime with these guys. They see us, they hear our voice and stuff, but we just always see is their name on the chat. So it'd be just a great thing to make a connection. We consider a lot of these people friends. It's business at the same time, but at the end of the day, my views, even beyond this industry, have always been making friends. That's the goal, making friends, and then business just seems to happen after that. So
word up.
But yeah, I think we're definitely gonna hit the national for sure. I don't know if there's any more stuff to talk about. I think as the national releases more stuff, we're looking at July 31st to August 4th, so it's still a little ways away. Right after my birthday, actually, so right around my birthday weekend, so that'd be kind of cool. And maybe we'll hit Wrigley, or I have to hit Wrigley while I'm down there, and maybe check out, I don't remember the name of the White Sox park now. I know it used to be called Comiskey, but that was, in the 80s.
Comerica or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Comerica, yeah. So we'll have to check that out. And just see Chicago, just get into it. I've only been as far as Nevada, actually Arizona. That's as far as I've been. So going.
Oh, man.
Yeah, going that far is just, I would be like on another planet. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be like, it's going to be crazy for me. So, but that rounds it out. I think next week Playbook comes out. So I think we could talk a little Playbook. There'll be probably more news on the forum about just different happenings that we'll have news for you. We're trying to get Tom from cardshopfinder.com on so he could talk about his app, his site, his experience. We hung out with him and had a drink in Vegas, and he's just a super cool dude with a really good, insights and values for this hobby and goals for this hobby and how to make it better. So we'll have to have Tom on. If he can't come on next week, look for the tweets on that, and work on getting some guests. So we'll let you guys know. Follow us at Card Radio Live on Twitter. Make sure you guys follow Sports Card News and Sports Card Radio. So it's at Sports Card News and at Sports Card Radio. I think Ryan doesn't have as many tweets now that he's done at the summit, but he's minor league baseball.
Yeah, to say the least.
But you can go, seriously, go through his tweets. It's enough in itself, entertainment, just to go through all the happenings at the summit. Him and Sue's had it, both going on, kind of informing you guys. So if you want to, an hour by hour timeline of the summit, check out Ryan's tweets and Sue's as well. Had some tweets as well, so check them out. Mojo Break, we're doing 4 breaks tomorrow. We got Totally Certified, which is sold out. We got a few spots left in a Valor case break. We're doing a 5-box break of NT plus a 4-box case of 2007 Ultimate Upper Deck Baseball, so it's like 56 hits. It's a 5-box total. And then we got a little NBA break, which we gave away a spot in, so check that out on our site. Use the code Mojo Break for 10% off of any of our team breaks. So be sure to check that out. Make sure we're on Ustream now, so no more Blog TV. So it's ustream.tv/channel/Mojo Break. So, and we're on Mojo Break_com on Twitter to follow us. And that pretty much sums it up. Do you guys have anything else to say?
I think that's pretty much it. I'm good.
All right, well, stay tuned for us next week. Ryan, did you have any last words, anything that's in the works?
I was just
like
saying, go Addison Russell. So apparently he's going to be in Stockton, so he's my new favorite player. So go Addison Russell, number one prospect of the A's. So
nice.
There you go.
Yeah, I got a few of his on. I'll have to come down and stalk and watch some games with you because I like Addison Russell too. So we'll have to check him out.
Yeah, come on down. I can't wait. I should get a front row view of him for hopefully the whole season. So I'm really excited about that because I've heard some good things about him. So super excited.
Definitely.
That's killer.
Awesome. We'll have to go down there and maybe you can come down to San Jose because I think the Ports will play in San Jose a few times too. So we'll have to get together on that.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, sounds good. Thanks again for another great show. Thanks, Susan from Beckett, for coming on and talking about her experiences on at the summit for the first time. And be sure to follow her and read her articles on Beckett. And she's also in the magazine and the internet version of Beckett.com. So I'd like to say special thanks to her. And other than that, we're pretty much out. So stay tuned to next. We're live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, talking about sports, talking about cards, talking about song pop. So we'll see. Country music. We'll talk to you guys later.
Sweet.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.